Blog Talk Radio.
Start off the show as unprofessionally as possible. I made an Oscar intro and I completely forgot about it.
Oh my God. Don't tell
Yes.
Kid Janice.
Okay, here we go. You ready? You're going to hear that wonderful theme again from our original composer, Michael McCormick. But here we go. Professionals that we are, here's our official Oscar opening.
Thank you, Sophia. I live here the Oscar, but I want you. I want to be rocked by the waves of your beauty. Come here. Thank you, thank you. This is a moment of joy, and I want to kiss everybody because you are the image of the joy. And he who kisses the joy as it flies lives in eternity sunrise, they said the poet. And this is wonderful to be here. Wonderful. I feel like now really to dive in this ocean of gratitude, of generosity. This is too much.
Sashine Little Feather. I'm Apache, and I'm president of the National Native American Affirmative Image Committee. I'm representing Marlon Brando this evening, and he has asked me to tell you in a very long speech, which I cannot share with you presently because of time, but I will be glad to share with the press afterwards, that he very regretfully cannot accept this very generous award. And the reasons for this being are the treatment of American Indians today by the film industry. Excuse me.
Okay, aren't you glad that we stopped our original opening so we could play Sashine Little Feather?
Because that picture has been all over the papers the whole weekend, you know, of, like, great moments in Oscar history. So
yeah.
Why not? Let's invite her to the show, you know?
I have thought about that for the past couple of years, but I thought beyond maybe two questions, I wouldn't begin to know what to ask her. And that she hasn't been asked for the past 30 years. But she was an actress. Actually.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was great. Welcome to Movie Geeks United. We're off to a flying start. This is our Oscar pre-show. Emile Hirsch walking up to the red carpet right now. It's going to be an exciting night. We're going to tell you guys some kind of news that has leaked about what to expect from tonight's show, even though the majority of it is very secretive, but they say that it's going to be a vastly different ceremony. Which means might mean that you won't fall asleep during it. So we're very excited about it.
Come on, dude. It's Hugh Jackman. I'm not going to fall asleep watching.
I love Hugh Jackman. Let me tell you.
I love Hugh Jackman, too, and he's well, all right, maybe. No, but he's a really awesome person. But
I would never fall asleep during the Oscars. It's like Christmas morning to me. Some of my friends and some of our listeners, actually, both in the chat room, they always bemoan like the length of the Oscars, and I've never had a problem with the length. I just want a good show, basically. We have some calls on the line already, so let's get this party started. Let's talk to Red Hulk. That's the screen name. Red Hulk.
Hello.
Hey, Red
yes.
Hulk. What's up?
Nothing's really up.
What do you want to talk about, man?
Okay.
You may have heard about with Dark Knight in the Best Picture how it's not there.
Yeah.
I think that's a load of crap.
It's the travesty of the year. Yeah. And
I know. Why shouldn't they? Like they should have Dark Knight in there. It's like so obvious.
You know, they should have Dark Knight, and they should have Chris Nolan nominated for Best Director.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Let me chime in on this. Obviously, I have obviously on the show and in print, too. But I think it just shows you that the Academy wants each year to be the lowest-watched show. But you can't deny The Dark Knight. I mean,
I know.
You really can't deny. It's like saying, oh, you know, this movie really helped out the motion picture industry this year. Let's cut it at the neck. You know, forget it. It doesn't matter. We're going to put The Reader or something. You know, no one saw The Reader, but, oh, we know it's better than The Dark Knight.
I know.
No. You need to...
Or like with Benjamin
Nolan.
Button. I didn't even know what the hell that was about.
No, but I will give you this. And if
well, many
friend,
people have seen it and still don't know what it's about.
But what's nominated Red Hulk, I would... It's between that and The Slumdog for me. Those two
well,
movies.
You know,
because
I think
love David Fincher.
The Reader took away the Dark Knight spot,
yeah,
and it should
definitely.
Have. And it, you know what it is? There's some sort of like elitist attitude, and I love the Oscar, so I hate to say this, but it's obvious. There's an elitist attitude, and this is one of the biggest movies of all time, and it's actually a great movie that will live.
I know it even made more than Titanic in box office.
Well, it's right up there, yeah. It just crossed $1 billion worldwide this week. But it's a good movie. I mean, that's the important thing. It's one of the best movies of the past year.
I know.
So I don't get it, man. And, you know, obviously Heath Ledger's probably, he's going to get it tonight. If he doesn't, L.A. is going to burn. So I don't know what to tell you, buddy. I was ticked off about it, too.
Me, too.
All right, man. Red Hulk. What does that mean, man? Does it have significance to you?
Yeah, it does. Because, see, for this year, either way, Dark Knight was my all-time favorite film.
Okay.
And it just pisses me right off, like, thinking me, oh. Like, who was, like, rating these things? And, like, with Milk. How is a movie about milk worthy about being at the Oscars?
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a political movie, but I was actually asking about your name. If your name Red Hulk has any significance.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Name's Ben Thompson.
All right,
very nice to meet you, Ben.
I appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening in tonight.
I would really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Because I love the Oscars, too.
Me too, man. Call us on Wednesday. Let us know how you liked it.
Yeah, please call us on Wednesday, please.
I'll make sure to.
Okay, great.
All right, buddy.
It was very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
All right, that's Red Hulk.
Okay.
I was scared for a second there. I thought Joaquin Phoenix was on the phone.
He called my house earlier, and then he threw a telephone book at me when he drove by. But I wanted to do something tonight, and I don't know if you'd be for it, but I want to start dedicating each show. And I was like, I thought about this on Wednesday because I read an interview, you know, a profile of Armand White, a friend of the show, and I put and you should probably put friend in quotes there, but in New York Magazine.
Yeah.
And it was very nice to read this thing and saying, well, I already know all about that. We interviewed the man, and he gave us his thoughts on Brian De Palma. But
right.
I don't want to dedicate tonight's show to Armand White. I want to dedicate it to Kevin Bacon and Sam Rockwell, who two of the hardest working actors in the business who never seem to get their kudos they deserve. And I'm speaking about Frost Nixon because I think, you know, these guys are both incredible actors, and they always seem to operate in the shadows. They never get that the credit they deserve.
Well, they really do, and there's a long line of supporting actors that are like that. But this is a good year for them getting the spotlight when you consider Richard Jenkins and Melissa Leo.
Right.
You know, so there's headway being made here.
Yeah.
You know, and those are two, particularly Richard Jenkins, just a quintessential.
Oh, Richard Jenkins is incredible. Did you see, and talking about that, at the Indie Spirit Awards, Tom McCarthy got the Best Director for The Visitor.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Independent Spirit Awards that occurred yesterday in just a second, but our good friend Ben, he mentioned Milk. Obviously, the film Milk, starring Sean Penn, directed by Gus Van Sant, is up for quite a few awards tonight. I think it's looking pretty good for its screenplay chances and for its best actor chances against
Right.
Mickey Rourke for Sean Penn. But it's not the first trip that Harvey Milk has made to the Academy Awards. Back in 1984, it won The Subject of His Life, The Times of Harvey Milk. It was a documentary that won Best Documentary Feature that year. And the director, Rob Epstein, joined us earlier or later last year to share his Oscar experience. So here's a little history for you when Milk first stepped up to the Academy Award podium.
Tell me about the Oscar experience. You've won two of them, one for Harvey Milk. What was that like for you?
Well, it was the thrill of a lifetime.
I'm sure.
I mean, it's like I have to say, as a young gay boy growing up, I watched the Oscars every year. Never in my life did I ever imagine that I would be on the other side of it.
Right, right.
Let alone now I'm on the board of the Academy. So, you know, you never know where life is going to take you when you're a kid watching television and what fantasies may come true. But it was just such a wonderful, wonderful high. And for that time, 1984, for that film to be embraced by Hollywood, that was a big deal because there was nothing, you know, Hollywood wasn't making gay movies, gay-themed movies or gay characters, and there was nothing on television. So this was a big step for Hollywood to take, and there was, I would say, just a full sense of celebration around that when the film won, for which I'm forever grateful.
Yeah, that was Rob Epstein. Let's talk a little bit about Milk. I've been wavering in the screenplay category between WALL-E and Milk, and I think I'm inching closer to Milk.
Really?
Yes.
No, I don't, you know, that has been winning some awards, and it's that WALL-E. Obviously, I would like In Bruges, but that's such a long shot. I think it is really between WALL-E and Milk. It's, all right, maybe, you know, I guess when we saw the trailer for Milk, or I'm just speaking for myself, we thought it was going to be this grand film, and it is a good film. I'm not knocking the film at all, but
right.
There's something missing. It seems standard, almost, a standard biopic, and I don't expect that from Gus Van Sant, and I don't know, that's... But the performances, Sean Penn's great. I think James Franco is very good, and I actually think when he leaves the film loses something. But that's just
Here's my thinking. I think that it took so long to lick the screenplay, and this first timer comes around and he does it. I think that's the story of these nominees, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be the win for Milk. I mean, it could be the. Because on the other hand, you have Sean Penn and Mickey Rourke, and this is the battle of the night.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
So, and this is like a 50-50 race, really. It's
it's
impossible to tell. As I mentioned in other shows, this would be the first, outside of the Independent Spirit Awards yesterday, this would be the first American awards organization that would have voted for Mickey Rourke, the Oscars tonight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all the other American awards have voted for Sean Penn. So, what do you think? I mean, it's you know, heads or tails.
Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right.
Okay, so that's what you think?
I just don't know, because I think we're all thrown for a loop after we did the prediction show when the Screen Actors thing came on. We had Jason on, and then Sean Penn won. So that was like, wow, that changed the race dramatically. Because we were all going on the Golden Globes and on a lot of critical response to Mickey Rourke, and then all of a sudden Sean Penn wins for the Screen Actors. So that threw a monkey wrench in everything we said that night.
I'm still sticking with Mickey Rourke.
Oh, I'm not leaving Mick. You think after all this time, you think after 25 years I'm going to leave Mickey Rourke? You got to be crazy.
Yeah. So that's what I was asking. I was asking for your prediction, which way you're leaning. And so we're both leaning
the same way. I'm
leaning
for Mick. It's Mick, regardless.
Okay. Okay. He won Best Actor yesterday at the Independent Spirit Awards, which is a really fun award show. It takes place in a tent on the beach, and, you know, you can curse, and Mickey Rourke certainly did. it was a great speech. It was actually very funny. But a couple of our previous guests won awards yesterday. Maurice Alberti won for The Wrestler for cinematography.
Right.
She wasn't there to accept. In Search of a Midnight Kiss.
The John Cassavetes Award.
Yeah. So that was great. And
that's
we have a
very good film. I like that film a lot.
Yeah, it is a nice movie. And we have a little clip of Maurice talking about the Independent Spirit Award nomination. No, actually, she's not. But just know that she was very nervous. When we asked her about the nomination, she said she was breaking out in hives just thinking about it. She was very nervous about it. And it ended up that she was working on a Lance Armstrong documentary at the time, so she could not attend. But she did talk to us about Best Actor nominee Mickey Rourke and what it was like to work with him. Here's a little glimpse of that.
Obviously, Mickey Rourke is astonishing in this movie, and I'm wondering from your point of view, behind the lens, could you sense that this was a very profound experience for him?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that Mickey Rourke is the movie. You take Mickey out of the movie, you put somebody else, you know, and Darren was very, very smart and very brave.
So what are you doing right now?
What am I doing?
You know, I thought maybe we could, you know, stop by our old favorite place.
We have an old favorite place.
You'll recognize it when you see it.
No, now's not really the best time. I got some stuff I gotta do.
What kind of stuff?
Stuff?
Come on, I'm not gonna take a bite out of you or anything. Just, you know, hang out for a little while.
Like when I first talk about it, Nick Cage was supposed to do the movie, and the budget was twice the size, and everybody's rates was twice the size. And Darren, you know, was very smart and very brave. So you know what? This is not the movie I want to make. This is not going to work. And it's not a reflection. I think that that Nick Cage is a very good actor. He was just not the part. And Mickey is a wrestler, his body, the history of his body, and his own story is a parallel, you know. So, you know, I thought it was very smart choice from Darren. And Mickey, you know, he's a very good actor.
He's fantastic.
And people sort of forget. We just sort of remember the bad boy, the fucked up, he disappeared. But he's a very good actor. And he worked very hard. And I mean, it was such a pleasure and a privilege to be there. Like when you film, it's kind of a theater where you're 3 feet away from the actors, you know. And it was great. The whole experience was so great. It's one of those moments where everybody was perfect. You know, the director, the producer Scott Franklin was great. Mickey was. He was being Mickey, but he was, from the stories I've heard, he was quite well-behaved and aware that it was his chance.
Yeah.
And he did it.
Yeah, Maurice Alberti, she's fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
So outside of the Best Actor Oscar, which we're all looking forward to, a nail-biter there, what are you most looking forward to tonight?
Best Supporting Actress, because while I am rooting for Penelope Cruz, but I would not be upset if any of the other actresses got it, because I think it's my favorite category this year.
Mm-hmm.
I really do think every performance in that category, I think that's where Doubt's true strength is in Amy Adams and Viola Davis. I think Benjamin Button, Queenie, I mean, you know, she's the heartbeat of that film.
I could see any of them winning. This is one of the categories that has changed for me, my prediction of it, from when we did our show to now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, obviously, Vicky Cristina was my favorite movie of the year, so I love Penelope Cruz. I am leaning towards Viola Davis because
I think everyone is.
I think that the buzz is towards her, but a lot of people are still predicting Penelope. But I'm going to Viola.
Well, look what we said last year about the woman from Gone Baby Gone.
Amy Ryan, yeah.
Amy Ryan, thank you. Her name escaped me. And then Tilda Swinton won, and I did not expect that. I really thought it was going towards, you know, Amy Ryan.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is always a very exciting category, and
it's always it's always the one category that can screw your prediction pool up, because they often go for a shocker right here in this category.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it could be any of them. I mean, Marissa Tomei could be.
Yeah,
I mean she's been up there before.
Our good friend Kittenfist in the chat room. I mean, Marissa Tomei is well, first of all, she is the shocker of shockers in that category, with My Cousin Vinny. And
yeah.
You know, I won't lie to you. I think she's, like I said, it's a very tough category for me because she's equally deserving in this film. I mean, this and Before the Devil Knows You're Dead and In the Bedroom, she's really come alive in this decade.
Yeah.
So
she's very good.
Yeah.
In terms of the actual show, what are you most curious about?
I'm really serious when I'm talking about Jerry Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting something outrageous to happen.
I hope so.
I'm expecting, this is the line I'm expecting. Look, you know, I didn't know Dean Martin would be more successful than me. What do you want from me, okay? Leave me alone. I didn't know these telephones would be the best thing I do.
Which he doesn't, I mean, he's happy with the telephones. This is the thing with him, reading this EW profile of him. He feels like, you know, I'm getting the humanitarian award, which is certainly deserving.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes,
the Academy has never recognized my contribution to cinema. It's been kind of parodied because of the French thing, liking Jerry Lewis. But he's made definite contributions. He's invented tools that filmmakers still use.
Those comedies are classic. And let me cite some other things. We talk, obviously, the king of comedy in the early 80s. But let's not forget his role as the fashion magnate in the TV series Wise Guy. He was critically praised for that. He's also good as one of the mob bosses in Susan Seidelman's Cookie, which I think is 88 or 89.
Yeah.
You know, he actually, in his later years, did a lot of really good work, I think because of the king of comedy.
Well, he is a great talent.
Yeah.
And you know, most of the time when you're dealing with a comedic genius, which we've seen this throughout the years, they're, because of their genre, they're not praised as much as they should be. But they usually got really good, sharp chops, acting chops, man.
Yes, they do.
Man.
And he does have some sharp chops. He does. No, but I actually, that I'm curious about. I'm just curious about what all these new things are, these, like, the new format or whatever. I'm just very curious because they keep hinting at this.
They say that it's going to be more intimate. It's going to feel more intimate. I don't know what that means, how that translates into this awards program. They also say that the show itself will tell a story from beginning to end, which Jason O'Brien brought up a very good point. He has a show on Blog Talk Radio called Oscar Oscar. He said that the only thing that he can think of fitting into that is to give the awards out in order of the creative process, like you'd start from perhaps screenplay or something and go on. That would be the only thing that would make sense in terms of telling a story. Judd Apatow has a movie that he made for that's highly secretive, but they say it's very, very funny. Hugh Jackman, you've seen video clips of him. He's rehearsing dance numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a show. They're going to put on a show,
yeah.
I think, is what they're doing. Now, I have problems with a couple of things that I already know about that I've vocalized on the show, like shortening the best song performances. You know, why would you do that?
Right.
They're nominees. They actually have something to do with the show. I can do without putting on the Ritz as an opening number as long as you keep the best song performances. I just don't know. But hopefully it'll be a great show. Hugh Jackman is not a comedian. He said, don't expect me to come out there and give 7 minutes of nonstop laughs. I'm going to be hopefully it'll be fun. It'll be a performance. And he's a fantastic performer. And I think this might be the thing to put him over because he's always been one of those guys. He's like just on the cusp of being a star.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's obviously a star, but a major actor that draws people an A-lister like that?
Yeah, no, here's the thing. I like him, and you know I'm a big fan of Australia, even though 99% of the world isn't. I'm a big fan of Australia, and I actually think he does a good job in that. But he does lend his name. Like, there was a movie that he made with Ewan McGregor that came out earlier last year called Deception. That was also with Michelle Williams, which is just awful. But
yeah.
I do think you're right. He's, like, on the cusp of something. He's known primarily for Wolverine in the X-Men movies, but there's so much more there.
Yeah, and I think this is the largest audience that he'll ever have in his life that anyone mm-hmm. would ever hope to have.
Right.
So I think this is his chance to really shine and show everybody what he's got. And hopefully that'll translate into his choices, which he's made a good choices. Michelle Williams gave one of the best performances of the year. I mean, it happens to everyone
mm-hmm.
in terms of
the
choices.
He really did. She really did in that movie. There's no doubt about that. It's criminal that was not recognized. Criminal.
So we have a couple of other clips here of nominees that we've spoken to. What happens is they have after the nominations, they have a nominee luncheon where all the nominees get together and they have lunch and they talk to the press and they mingle with one another. It's kind of a solidarity thing before the big night. We talked to two of the nominees for the Best Short Film Oscar this year, the director of a film called On the Line and the director of a movie called New Boy. And they talked a little bit about the awards luncheon and their thoughts on what the Oscar means for their career. Listen to this real quick.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, you see all these people, but it's not the right place, actually, to do some small talking, you know. And it's, we were sitting on the table at the nominees lunch with Danny Boyle, which was really nice, and there was John Lasseter, who made Toy Story, so that was a fantastic experience. But there you actually get an hour or two of sitting together on the table. Otherwise, I just think it's going to be a huge frenzy, I think. And so I'm just glad that I'm surrounded mm-hmm. by people that I know, and this is, for me, more important.
Did you attend the luncheon, the Oscar luncheon?
I did, yeah. That was a trip. It was so real.
That must have been surreal.
Yes, I think the most surreal moment was seeing all the press, the paparazzi and the photos clicking away. And, you know, I think we were in front, or we were in back of Amy Adams and in front of Kate Winslet or something. And so, you know, Tamara, hang on, the producer, and Steph Green, and, like, all the cameras had been going, and then it was like, click, click, and we were moved along. But we didn't feel, we did not feel slighted in the least. It was really fun.
Oh, it's got to be a great honor, yeah. So what do you hope this brings for you? Do you have future plans or a project that you'd love to get going, a dream project perhaps?
I think, yeah, the fun thing is that it makes you a little braver about trying to get that meeting or talk to that dream actor person that you imagine as that key role in the film you're working on. So it's the opportunity that I feel grateful and excited about. And, yeah, I have ideas, you know, that I've been trying to talk about for a long time now, and maybe there'll be some different kinds of listening now, movie ideas, both in Ireland and in the States. And some books I'd really like to option, and so you're trying to always you are always working on something, and now I just feel like hopefully there'll be more opportunity for me to share it and get it made.
Yeah, that was Steph Green, director of New Boy, the gentleman that you heard from before, the director of On the Line. Actually, I think On the Line is going to win this award. It's won over 60 international awards. It's won the Student Academy Award. I think On the Line is going to win Best Short Film. So if you're filling out your Oscar ballot and you're worried about these smaller categories, then I think that's a shoo-in. So
mm-hmm.
just give me 20% of your winnings, and we'll call it even.
Wow.
Eric G. Asked an intelligent question.
He asked
question.
A very good question.
Yeah, which completely unexpected. I can't find it. Do you think any of the voters upset over the recent passing of Proposition 8 will feel that a vote for Penn is a statement against the anti-gay marriage bill? Jerry?
I do. That's what I was thinking. Let me just be very honest with you about when I saw Milk the day before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And I do... There's a lot of emotion in the film, but it is because I'm thinking of Proposition 8. Yeah. I won't lie to you because of current events. And I think that's going to play into if Milk does get as far as it does tonight, I think that's going to play into it. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I also think another reason because they're going to feel guilty about Brokeback Mountain a couple of years ago.
If it wins Best Picture.
Yeah.
You know, and we speculated about that a while ago, that if even if Milk is really good, it'll be a shame that that's what people will say. It's payback
mm-hmm.
for Brokeback Mountain. I don't think it's as good as I'd hoped, so I think it's going to go to Slumdog. But in terms of Sean Penn, I think with or without Proposition 8, he would have been nominated.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. Here's the thing. It's a tremendous performance from Sean Penn. There's no denying that. It is a great shame, and this also goes for Richard Jenkins in The Visitor, who I think had the best actor thing sewn up for me before we even knew about The Wrestler. It is a horrible shame that the Richard Jenkins and Sean Penn's films came out last year with The Wrestler. They're great performances. I mean, outstanding. But The Wrestler is one of those films that just comes around. It's all about Mickey Rourke, and there's no denying that. There's no way you can watch the movie and not think about Mickey Rourke's biography. I don't care what anyone says. It's just impossible to separate the two.
Well, that's just it. I think that it's one of those profound, profound moments in acting when they so commingle the role and the
yeah.
actor, and it's not any less of a performance because of that.
Not at all.
It actually feels like more of a performance.
Mm-hmm.
Or more of not even a performance. I mean, it's just life seeping into it. It feels alive in a way that performances, quote unquote, don't. So another big question that was asked by Torino in the chat room: do you think Heath Ledger would win if he hadn't have died?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think this is about death at all here. I think it is one of those performances that you watch. Given the film, I was like talking to my mom is a big fan of the film too, and I'm just saying it's one of these great crime epics. Forget it. You don't even think of it as a comic book movie at all. It's just that the main characters are a guy in a bat suit and a guy with clown makeup on, but that's the only otherworldly elements really until you get to Harvey Dent maybe, but this is one of these great crime epics that we love. On this show especially, I mean, we could do a whole couple shows just about crime epics, but I do think Heath would have gotten nominated. It is quite a departure from any performance of the Joker before, and that's not insulting Jack Nicholson or Cesar Romero. That is not meant as a slight to them because they gave it their interpretations of the character, but I think what Heath Ledger did was just magical in one way.
Yeah, it is the performance in the supporting actor category for this year. I mean, I was awestruck by it. I don't know if The Dark Knight would have made as much money had it not been for Heath Ledger's passing.
Right.
I mean,
that's
I feel
true.
Terrible to say that, but it's true. There was a curiosity
there.
You're
absolutely there.
Right. And it almost came up to like a fever pitch, this almost legendary status that this performance was shaping up to be months before it opened in theaters because of that. You know, I think everyone was excited about the prospect. And I wasn't sold on Heath Ledger when they announced him as the Joker in casting.
No, not a lot of people were. Do you know who one of the first people cast who were they thinking about as the Joker?
Who's that?
Sean Penn. Sean Penn was actually rumored to be the Joker long before Heath Ledger.
Yeah. I just heard today that Brad Pitt turned down The Departed so he could do Babel. Yeah.
What part would he? What would the DiCaprio part?
Probably, maybe. And then of course Mel Gibson turned down The Departed as well. Lots of people turning down Scorsese. What's going on with that?
When I read that about Mel Gibson a couple of years ago, that's a curiosity right there. Mel Gibson in a Scorsese film.
Well, we all know he could be crazy. So,
well, we all know that. Sugar
could
tits,
be playing.
But I gotta say this about. I'm glad that Jack took the part because I think it's one of Jack's best parts in a long time. Mm. And I was just to see such two people so identified with the 70s who finally work together.
Yeah,
that's just you can't beat that.
Well, we were talking about the Joker earlier. There's somebody nominated in relation to the Joker as well tonight, the man that did the makeup for The Dark Knight and conceived Heath's makeup for the film. He's up for Best Makeup, John Caglione Jr. Another nominee in that category is Mike Elizalde for Hellboy 2. We spoke to both of them about the whole upcoming Oscar experience. First of all, we'll be hearing from The Dark Knight makeup artist John Caglione.
Now, you've won before for Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you?
Oh, man, God, you know. Geez. Well, first of all, I didn't think I was going to get Dick Tracy. You know, it was like a long. I'm from New York, and that was a Hollywood-based film, so it's like, you know, I didn't think I would get it. But, yeah, it's totally surreal and unbelievable to, first of all, get the job and then to do it, and then, you know, what happened afterward with the Oscar. It's just, it's beyond the dream. You know, it really is.
Yeah.
Beyond the dream.
Are the nerves going yet for this time around?
Oh, we're psyched. You know, my wife's looking at dresses online already, and you know, we're completely psyched. Can't believe
well,
it.
Good,
you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
I'm really excited, and I'm sure you are, about the Oscar nomination. How did you find out? Where were you when you found out?
Well, I was at home with my wife Mary, who's the co-owner of the company, Spectral Motion, and we were, you know, pretty much just glued to the computer trying to find out if we had been nominated or not. So we were checking the Academy Awards site, we were checking all sorts of other places to see if we could find it, and we were having a really tough time finding anything. So then we got a phone call from the one of the ladies who works with us at the shop, Maria. And she, Maria Cruz, and she told us, she said, "You guys, you're nominated. I just found it." So, you know, we just lost it. We just were jumping around and having a great old time. And but I still had to see it with my own eyes, so I kept looking, and I finally found it on the internet.
Yeah. Now, will this be your first time? This is your first time nominated for an Oscar?
It is. This is our first nomination. We have made it to the final seven movies that are in consideration twice before. But this is the first time that we've been nominated.
Yeah. How are your nerves right now? Do you think they'll get worse and worse as it progresses?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you think you're going to be okay, but then you really start getting those butterflies, and it hits you. It's like, oh my goodness, this is huge. You know.
Yeah.
And then you know you start hearing from all of your friends, and it's just great to feel that love and support. So. You know, it is a very nerve-wracking time, definitely.
Yeah, both great guys, both great pieces of work. That being said, excuse me, I think the Benjamin Button's going to take home Best Makeup this year.
I think you're right.
Yeah, the third one in the category there.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us in the chat room. This is our little Oscar pre-show. We have about 20 minutes left, and then you guys can turn it on E and the actual award ceremony at 8 p.m. Eastern. Just arriving on the red carpet were Kevin Kline and Phoebe Cates, and Phoebe Cates still looks just gorgeous. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that was Zac Efron. They look so much alike. So do you watch the red carpet, Jerry?
Not watching it right now because I'm not downstairs at a TV that has it on, but we do watch the red carpet, so... I do. Yeah. I think it's very. It's something very enjoyable about it. Well, enjoy or funny. I don't know which word I would use. But I do. I guess when it, what is it like on ABC at 8 o'clock they have that. That's when their red carpet starts. Or.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah.
And then 8:30 is the actual award ceremony. But a lot of the people that will be there tonight won't be walking the red carpet. Madonna's there for some reason, because a lot of the presenters are secretive. They didn't announce who would present tonight, not really. So a lot of them are being ushered in through the rear entrance.
Is Christian Bale presenter?
I don't know.
Okay.
So I'm surprised they didn't choose to have Zac Efron enter through the rear entrance. But So there are a lot of surprises tonight, obviously. So I'm excited about it.
I'm very excited. For those who are interested, I'm going to be live blogging with filmarcade.net, the whole thing. So if you want to see something stupid in print, then that's the place to go. Because God knows, last year I think I supplied enough idiocy to go around. But no, there'll be
way
some
to
really
sell
good
it.
Writers.
Way to sell it, man.
No, there'll be a lot of good writers, and then there's me. So.
Oh no, you shortchange yourself, dude.
You're a tremendous slouch, just now.
The presenters that we know about, I think Jennifer Aniston's presenting tonight. And I think Zac Efron's all this Zac Efron talk.
Is it because of this movie he has coming out where he's Matthew Perry?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw that movie about three times in the 80s, actually.
Yeah, wasn't that with George Burns?
18
and,
again, Like Father, Like Son.
Yeah,
all this stuff.
Yeah, there's a couple of those. Yeah, who knew? Who knew?
He's presenting Best Original Song, I think. My favorite, Salma Hayek. Will not be there.
Yes. And not just yours, but everyone's. But, oh, my God.
So that's already, I'm already down in the dumps about that before the award ceremony even starts. Because that's always a highlight, seeing Salma on the red carpet, because she's a goddess.
She'll be breastfeeding a baby on the red carpet.
She's having a party with Harvey Weinstein. I'm surprised that she's not there since she and Penelope.
No, wait a second. What is it with Harvey? You know, Harvey, you know, everyone wrote him off, and he comes back with The Reader, you know, with all the success of The Reader, and he manages to coerce Eli Wiesel to say it's the greatest Holocaust film ever made. I mean, this guy still has power. Who are the people writing them off? That's what I want to know.
I tell you what they have in common, the Holocaust and The Reader being nominated for so many awards. They're both incredible tragedies. I agree with that.
You're so right.
I'm
oh,
so
my God. You know what worries me about The Reader?
What's
that? Is that in a couple of years, you know, it's going to be regarded as a masterpiece.
I don't think so.
I hope you're right there.
I don't think so. But even so, do you think Kay Winslet's got it for The Reader for Best Actress?
I hear it's between her and Meryl Streep. That's what it's really boiled down to. Anne Hathaway is not even on the radar.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame. I think that it would be Kate Winslet. If she was nominated in two categories, I think she would have won for one of them. Not both of them. And Meryl Streep would have a better shot. But I think it's Kate Winslet this year. It's astounding what she's accomplished. So, like, six nominations by the time she's 33, something like that. I mean, that's just incredible. That's unbelievable.
No, it is incredible. I mean, and my problem, both of these films, The Reader and Revolutionary Road, they're just not, compared to her previous work, I don't think it's in the same league, personally. Mm-hmm. That's just me. I know a lot of people disagree with me on that, but I don't think it's in the league of Little Children or Finding Neverland or what's the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I just don't.
Right.
But she will win.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to play a little clip of two nominees of tonight for Benjamin Button, the cinematographer Claudio Miranda, and the composer Alexandre Desplat. While this is playing, this is everyone's chance. We see a caller on the line right now. Call on in. Give us a prediction. Let's end the show with some random predictions here from our listeners. Here's a little clip from Benjamin Button. You'll first hear from cinematographer Claudio Miranda, followed by composer Alexandre Desplat.
A lot of the little side stories in Benjamin Button have a little bit of a different look to them. You know, some of the little lightning scene where this guy gets, you know, hit by lightning, and that's definitely like this old vintage film look, you know.
Right. Fincher is pretty meticulous, isn't he, as a director?
Oh yeah, no, very meticulous. I mean, the DI has been, you know, the digital line where we time the movie has been, you know, for long. I mean, David's been working on this movie forever. You know, I mean, just when I thought it was like 4 years, I realized he was putting, you know, he's working on this movie before Zodiac. You know.
Wow.
And I got
Zodiac.
Hired on kind of last, you know, sort of last minute, you know, a little bit, you know.
But. Zodiac, you mentioned that, another just masterpiece of
a
movie.
Dynamo, the film.
Wow.
Dynamo.
And I just did the, you know, Harris was the cinematographer on that one. I just did the, you know, just the, you know, I just did some reshoots of it for
right.
like 3 weeks of that. But, you know, Harris was the, you know, and for me, you know, my goal was to, you know, keep what Harris was doing and keep it going for the movie, you know. The interesting thing, you know, Button was more, you know, it's kind of a little bit more, you know, it's just more me, and I had more, you know, choices to make
right.
my own. And
so.
I think it has to enhance the imagination, the hidden emotions. That's the way a score should work. Because what we see on screen, we don't care. We see it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to underline it. I guess that's more European sensitivity. That what you see, you don't have to repeat. And I think actually that's what David Fincher wanted me to do also.
Mm-hmm.
Or Ang Lee or a few directors I've worked with, they want the score to have this quality of creating another dimension of imagination.
Okay. The Benjamin Button crew, both nominated.
Mm-hmm.
Benjamin Button with the most nominations this year with 13. It's one of the most nominated films in the history of Oscar. And it's going to pick up a couple, but just a percentage of those 13, I believe. We have a caller, a 904 area code. 904, go right ahead.
Hey, guys, it's me. I called in about 3 weeks ago on your roundtable.
Yes.
And I said then that Slumdog was going to win, and since then I've watched it again, and I still think that. But here's what I've been thinking about. I think The Curious Case of Benjamin Button is going to be the Gangs of New York of this year.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy. That's a very good analogy.
Because Gangs of New York... Sorry, I'm out of breath here.
That's all right.
But Gangs of New York was nominated for 10 awards, and only one... Did it win anything that year? I forget.
It might have won something like art direction or something, but you know what it is... I think in terms of Gangs of New York and Benjamin Button, they're both nominated a lot, and yet very few people love either of them.
That's true.
Well,
I love both of them.
I love Benjamin Button.
I think they're both excellent films.
Yeah. So what are you most looking forward to on tonight's show, dude? The Oscars, not this one.
I'm looking forward to the supporting actor category like everybody else. I agree with you. If somebody like Hoffman does miraculously end up with it, he's going to be like, I don't want this award. Please
yeah.
don't kill me. Because there will be a riot in L.A. tonight if Heath Ledger does not win that award. I'm part of one of those... people.
Yeah. Oh, I think there'll be riots in Borneo if that happens. I mean,
if they give the award to someone other than Heath Ledger, it'd be like electing Bush for a third term. It's going to be
definitely. I mean, it'll be a bloody tragedy.
I doubt they won't take it. That's a good point. They probably will be frightened, like they have a price on their head or something if they go up there. That's a good point of you, man. Thanks, buddy, for listening, and I hope you enjoy the awards tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye, man. All right, the awards are about an hour and 10 minutes away, something like that. Good times?
Good times, great times, end of times.
What's your favorite Oscar memory? What's your favorite Oscar moment?
You know what? Remember, I think it was in 82, this is when Carson hosted. And a guy lost all his stuff, that he lost his Oscar and everything, mm-hmm. and they lost in a fire. And Johnny was like, you know, I lost some stuff in a fire once. What are you guys going to give me?
He was very funny.
He was a great host. They still haven't found anyone quite of that magnitude yet, but I do like Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, they're showing Viola Davis. She's on the red carpet. call me crazy. I have a thing for Viola Davis.
I noticed that. I think everyone in our chat room, including my, in, you know, me too. So yeah, welcome to the club.
Yeah, I'm not talking about as a winner tonight. I'm talking about as a woman.
I was talking about as a woman. I had thrown away the whole entire awards pretense.
Which
there.
Really, if she finds out that I have a thing for her, she's already a winner. Yeah. You know? So come on.
Hopefully she'll come on the show then. I mean.
Yeah. And you know, I'll tell you the one thing that I could not care less about is all the fashion stuff. I mean, and this is like a whole another industry that has cropped up in the Oscars.
Well, it has. We were talking about this last. I just heard that British woman talk to me. Okay, but they actually brought up a good point, though, because, you know, a lot of people are, you know, we're in a really bad times right now, that the people who are wearing these dresses from these designers, if they would actually pay for them or at least give some sort of money towards them, that could help the economy out.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. Do you think that the economy is going to play a role in the night of glamour?
Oh, I don't think. I think it's been thrown out the window for tonight.
It did feel a little subdued after 9/11.
It did.
Just because the country felt so subdued after.
Because the country felt very beaten, but that didn't last as long as everyone thought it would. Really didn't last as long. But there, you know, you keep reading this stuff like Mickey Fink. I read there's an article that they're already prepared that this, at least domestically, this will be the lowest rated Oscars telecast
this year.
Yes.
This will be one of the highest.
People are, you know what, like I said, I think it was the last time we were on the air, this and the Super Bowl this year are like these communal things, and the country really needs that right now.
Yeah, and all the award shows are up in the ratings. I think it's not going to be the highest like the Titanic year. It's going to be significantly increased over last year's like 31.5 million.
I think so. I don't think this is going to be as low as everyone is saying. I think just given the times and everything, I think people seek that out. They want to be part of something. And
now there could be a connection between the bumbling economy and the chances of Slumdog and the appeal of Slumdog. At least thematically or ironically, you can look back at this year and see Slumdog's win and connect it to that. And another story, sideline to that, they're bringing in the little kids from Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, and it has to win now.
They have picked them up out of the slums that they live in, and I'm not making a joke here, to go to the Oscars, and then, of course, I'm sure that they'll just take them right back to the slums.
Right. Oh, God.
Well, that's true. That's
no,
true.
You're right. No, I'm not going to...
Don't argue with me.
I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, about that.
I think if they don't win, you're going to see a couple of kids cry, and nobody likes that.
No, so. I don't like that.
Yeah, we have enough of that on this show. All right, we're excited, man. We're getting up to the point, and you're going to be watching it and live blogging. Where's your blog at?
This is going to be at filmarcade.net. So feel free to join us. Anyone who has a Google account, or you can do it anonymous if you want. We'll just be keeping a blog there. Tony DeFrancisco and Jenny Alm, who is Becca Jane in our chat room right now, they're the great writers over there, and they're going to be in charge of it. So you just feel free to join us.
Okay. If you want to win your Oscar pool, go back through our Oscar prediction contest or go to Jason O'Brien's Oscar show. That aired on Thursday night. Don't listen to anyone else. Just listen to me. It's a panel of five people, and you're sure to win the contest and win friends and great acclaim. Let me teach you how to do that. Okay, guys. It's been a great night. We're going to end with just a few highlights from previous award shows. These are just three random moments from the Oscars that I've put together to close out the show. Jerry, feel free
Jamie.
To call me if the urge hits you to call me anytime during the show.
Okay.
And any of our listeners out there that just have to share their enthusiasm, I'm right here.
Feel free to call Jamie.
I'm a party of one watching the Oscars, but I'm as giddy as a schoolgirl. So.
There you go. You heard it from him.
Let me tell you, upcoming shows before we go off. Wednesday night, we have Andy Fickman, the director of Race to Witch Mountain, and Trevor Rabin, the composer of the film, and we'll be doing an after-Oscar recap for you guys as well. We're also trying to get The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, for Wednesday. And then Sunday, we have our two-hour tribute, the first installment of our Greatest Films of the 70s series, McCabe and Mrs. Miller, featuring the legendary producer of that film, David Foster, Professor Robert T. Self, that wrote a great book on the film, and Doug Pratt, a DVD critic that's, you know, reviewed 20 to 30,000 movies, and he considers McCabe and Mrs. Miller to be his favorite. And then we have several people involved with Last House on the Left on our following show, including actors Garrett Dillahunt and Ricky Lindholm, and we're trying to pick up Wes Craven and the director of that film as well. So stay tuned. Some exciting developments underway and some great shows. Jerry, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, and enjoy.
Okay, guys.
All right, good night.
We leave you with this. Thanks, guys. Okay, apparently we don't leave you this. This has been
I was
going to
say, man, what's up?
This has been just a rocking show in terms of...
Ghost.
Oh, there it is. Okay, guys, bye.
Bowling for Columbine. Michael Byrne! Michael Donovan!
On behalf of our producers, Kathleen Glenn and Michael Donovan from Canada, I'd like to thank the Academy for this. I've invited my fellow documentary nominees on the stage with us, and we would like to, they are here in solidarity with me, because we like nonfiction. We like nonfiction, and we live in fictitious times. We live in the time where we have fictitious election results that elects a fictitious president. We live in a time where we have a man sending us to war for fictitious reasons, whether it's the fictitious of duct tape or the fictitious of orange alerts. We are against this war, Mr. Bush. Shame on you, Mr. Bush. Shame on you. And any time you've got the Pope and the 66 against you, your time is up.
Goes to Cuba Gooding Jr. and Jerry Maguire.
Tom said, don't forget to thank your wife. I will never forget to thank my high school sweetheart and the mother of my children, Spencer and Mason. I love you, Sarah. And my parents who are here, Shirley and Cuba the First. And, God, I love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for putting me through what you put me through, but I'm here and I'm happy. I just want to... Oh, here we go. Okay, the studio, I love you, and Cameron Crowe, and Tom Cruise. I love you, brother. I love you, man. Derek Crowe, Sean Settles, Keith Butler, all my behind-the-scenes crew, Regina King, I love you. You did a great job when we made the movie. Everybody involved.
This year, those nominated for Best Performance by an Actor are Walter Matthau in The Sunshine Boys, Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Al Pacino in Dog Day Afternoon, Maximilian Schell and the Man of the Glass Booth, James Whitmore and Give 'Em Hell Harry. And the winner is Jack Nicholson and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I guess this proves there are as many nuts in the Academy as anywhere else. But